take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com. Joining me, Chris Taylor, State Representative from Madison's East Side and Central City. Well, how is everything?
Well, you know, we're coming out, I think, of the fog, hopefully.
What could be wrong when you have a president about to take office with multiple ethics conflicts of interest? Apparently the Russians helped him get elected to the presidency. He's picked a cabinet with, we now don't have a Department of Labor, we have a Department of Management. Okay, man from Hardee's, who, well, you're from California, so you've seen, you probably saw some of those Carl's Jr.'s ads over the years with the women washing the cars.
Sure, absolutely.
Growing automation.
Yep.
Okay. The Secretary of State is going to be the CEO from ExxonMobil, friend of Vladimir Putin's. So what's wrong? What could go wrong?
Oh, my. Oh, so many things. I mean, we have a cabinet of billionaires, really. We have a president who has no understanding that he's actually now a public servant. And actually has, you know, responsibility to all Americans here to put together a cabinet that does, you know, represent the interests of the actual people and not the billionaires. So it's very ALEC. You know, I was at the ALEC meeting last week in D.C.
Oh, you were?
I was, yes. And so much of this, even though it's interesting, Trump was not their guy. He wasn't the guy of the American Legislative Exchange Council. But boy, are they excited now, because so many of the things that he is doing, and you can see this reflective of his cabinet, the anti-worker agenda, the anti-environment agenda, the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, all of those things that ALEC has really been working hard on now are coming to fruition in this presidency. So it's like, what, you know, it's a convergence from my perspective of now a Trump nation in an ALEC land, and that is no good for most people.
Let's go back to 2008. It looked like Wisconsin was becoming a blue state, but that was an illusion, wasn't it?
Well, it apparently was, because fast forward to 2016.
So over the last 8 years, I mean, in 2008, Barack Obama won Waupaca County,
yeah.
Okay?
Which...
Yeah. Which Barry Goldwater won,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it looked like things were moving in the right direction. And 2012 gave me some hope, because we kind of bounced back a little bit. Now, it doesn't make any sense that Tammy Baldwin would get 54% of the vote in Trempealeau County and Russ Feingold would get in the low 40s. That doesn't make any sense. He's more conservative than she is, frankly. Not much more, but, you know, on a couple things. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. No, it's hard to figure out. But I think one thing that is happening and has been happening for a long time in our state is there is real economic crisis in not just our rural areas, even some suburban areas. And I really think this election was not a pro-Trump election. It was an anti-incumbent in some way election, with, I think, Hillary Clinton kind of taking the mantle of Barack Obama. She ran on continuing his legacy. And her, you know, people seeing her just as part of an establishment that was not working for them. And they're right to a large extent. The problem, I think, is that the people creating this unfair system are the Trumps of the world. They are the Republican Party, who are creating a very unfair economic system where those at the top are doing very, very well and the rest of us aren't. And so I do think Democrats weren't clear enough on that economic message in this presidential race, and some of our down ballot races too, that I think if we had focused more on that economic understanding that we have, that working people are struggling, and they are. Our wages are very flat here in Wisconsin for middle income people, and low income people, their wages have actually decreased. So I do think part of that was going on, and for whatever reason, people believed that Trump would shake up the system that they have experiences being extremely unfair and extremely rigged towards them. Okay. Now, whether that's right or wrong, we can disagree with that.
Okay, here's what's problematic, though. It's been said that Donald Trump beat two parties. First, he beat the Republican Party, but then he beat the Democrats. But once he got the nomination, he pulled the rest of the Republicans through, who are far more responsible for the economic distress in these areas than the Democrats are.
Right.
They got the biggest pass. Paul Ryan and his crew got the biggest pass in the world. And now they're breathing down our throats on the safety net for people.
Right. Yeah, no, that's the thing, is this economic rig system, Democrats did not create. It was the Republicans who created that. You can see that in our own state with almost $5 billion in tax cuts from Governor Walker going to the most wealthy. There were 10 individual billionaires who got $22 million in tax cuts, in tax giveaways. And our rural schools can't keep the lights on. And our working people haven't had a wage increase in 10 years. So there is, you know, I think we have to do a better job as Democrats to make sure that is the message. That is the message. We are for the people, the working people of this state. Republicans are for themselves.
Hasn't that been the message?
I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's resonating. In some of these communities, it's very, very hard to get that message because there's no media infrastructure. And I found this up in northern Wisconsin on the last two election cycles. Is I feel like we focus on that a lot, probably not as clearly as we need to, because we're also talking about, you know, 500 other issues that are important. But I think there are two problems. One is it's very hard to get a message to some of these communities because there is no way to get it there, whereas the right has right-wing radio that's everywhere.
You know, the Senate Democrats in Wisconsin came out with this Badger blueprint, okay? It sure looked generic to me. You know, it seems soft and rather generic. It clearly did not cut through. Jen Schilling barely got reelected herself. We could have picked up a seat, didn't. I could have picked up a couple seats, didn't. Because there was this collapse of the turnout. Bernie Sanders teach us a lesson this year that soft doesn't work anymore?
I think so, absolutely. The question is, are we going to get that message? And are we going to change how we are doing business? I think if we had, I mean, there were a lot of things that went on in this election, and I don't want to say it's simple at all, but we did have depressed turnout. We did have voter ID for the first time. We do think that had an impact in Milwaukee. How much did it have? I mean, was that the reason 41,000 people who turned out
to me like turnout was down all over the state with the exception of Dane County,
actually. But there was I think we had a real machine here in Dane County as well that was operating, and we had a lot of regional GOTV efforts here. I mean, we had a lot of neighborhood associations who were doing literally running canvases out of people's basements. We had a really great local operation here. That was mostly, as I said, not necessarily connected to the Hillary Clinton campaign. That was really local activists who were running these canvases and GOTV. I mean, look at the students. The students did a great job here in Madison. They actually came out in a pretty healthy number, and they actually came out for Democrats. In a non-presidential year, the students are pretty divided between Republicans and Democrats. But I do think there's a lesson from Bernie Sanders. Absolutely. He stuck with a message that this economic system is rigged. It is the billionaires who are benefiting. It is these big corporations who are benefiting. It is not the average working family here in Wisconsin. And that's a system that Republicans created.
Do you think he would have won Wisconsin?
I mean, I think it's hard to say the African-American vote in Milwaukee was very, very depressed. It was not what we had hoped we would see. It's possible.
Western
I mean, it's certainly
Wisconsin.
Possible you know, that he would have done better in some of these rural areas, and maybe that would have made up.
For years, the Democrats have been getting stronger and stronger in Crawford and Vernon County. You know, let's face it, a bunch of hippies moved out there.
Well, Viroqua and other.
Trump almost won those counties.
Yeah. Look, he talked about, I think one of the issues he talked about that Hillary Clinton struggled with was the outsourcing issue and the outsourcing of jobs.
Her husband signed NAFTA.
Well, that was a big problem. That was a big problem. And so that authenticity was never attributed to her on that issue. It was attributed much more to him. Even though he had, in his business
made
dealing,
his products.
Made his products. And taken products and bought from China and all of this kind of stuff.
You steal to, yeah.
You know, he managed somehow to become the champion of not outsourcing jobs, which was very, very interesting that that became something that he... But I think he knew that that resonated. And I will tell you one thing. Kellyanne Conway came to the ALEC conference in July of 2016 before she was his campaign manager.
Did you bond with her?
I did. Well, you know, I did talk to her. But I'll tell you, she did the most compelling polling presentation that I saw during the whole campaign season. And she very much picked up, and this was before she was his campaign manager, that voters were very, very angry. They did not want status quo. They wanted a change agent. So whatever you think of Donald Trump, and obviously I was a huge opponent. I think, you know, the things he has said about people, his attitude towards people, the fact that he is seemingly has no problem discriminating against all kinds of people. But one thing that she, you know, said is he was viewed as a change agent, whether you like that or not. He was viewed more that way than Hillary Clinton was. And with an electorate like it was, you know, before she was hired by him, really thought that he had an opportunity in this election season with the mood of the electorate.
Although we have to keep a lot of things in context here. Had the Comey letter not gone out,
right?
Had WikiLeaks and the Russians not done what they did, she would have won. It was that close.
It was that close. And she won, you know, almost 3 million more votes now in the popular vote.
Right.
So that's the other.
But, for years we've been taking this sort of Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. You know, Donald Trump almost won Minnesota.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania. We've been taking it for granted that Democrats have lost some white working class votes, but there was always enough to keep their head above water in these states. Well, between lower turnout and some votes flipping, it collapsed.
Well, again, you had some interesting things going on. You had Hillary Clinton get white educated women, but not white working class women, which was very interesting, I thought, given Donald Trump's, you know, absolute sexism and misogyny. But apparently that was not enough to bring over white working class women. Look, people are hurting in this economy. And if you go knock doors in northern Wisconsin, you will see it. And it's not just there. It's people are hurting. You know, African-American individuals in Milwaukee are hurting. I mean, working people who are struggling are hurting. And we have to be very, very clear in our message as Democrats that we have their backs. And this is how we have their backs.
Well, look, the Walker administration's put nothing into job creation efforts for northern Wisconsin. They haven't lifted a finger.
Well, they've hurt job creation efforts. They've actually rejected millions and millions of dollars from the federal government for broadband. They actually rejected that money.
Well,
they
when
said
are the voters
we don't
hold
want
him
it.
Responsible?
Well, we have to make sure that they're getting that message. I'm not convinced that they always are, given in some communities where there's very limited media. They get, you know, Rush Limbaugh. They don't hear a contrasting message. So we have to figure that out. We also have to get back to doing basic organizing. We know how to do this. We need to organize with individuals in these communities, by individuals.
You said to me something the other day when we talked on the phone that there wasn't enough persuasion, that Hillary Clinton ran an organizing campaign, but there wasn't enough persuasion. Explain.
There was, I think, an effort, this was my perception, to really turn out Obama voters, really target these voters. But what we know is, leading up to that last week of the election here in Wisconsin, there was a healthy dose of people still undecided. The Clinton campaign really ran a GOTV campaign. They really targeted these Obama voters. I think the problem was, I don't think the African-American community was going to turn out for her like they did for him, because he was an inspirational first African-American president, an inspirational figure. Plus, we were dealing with voter ID. So to think you were going to be able to turn out these same voters, I don't think that was a realistic assumption. It seemed to me the campaign was much more focused on GOTV than persuasion, persuading these voters who were in the middle to get out and vote. And it was a bit of a you know, different way to run a presidential campaign. Frankly, I had not seen it run this way before. So that's what it did seem like that to me. This was also a state, as you said, that Bernie Sanders won very, very, you know, fairly convincingly.
71 out of 72.
71. 71 out of 72. And so, you know, I think that that was a warning sign, perhaps, that was not necessarily taken as seriously as it should have been taken.
All right, you're very well connected. You used to work for Planned Parenthood. What are the folks from Emily's List and Planned Parenthood and NARO, what are they all saying? Because, you know, there was a war in the primary between the Bernie people and the Clinton people. Clearly those groups were on the side of Hillary, even though Bernie was not in any way anti-choice.
Right.
Do you think they have a better understanding now that the economic thing has to be a component of the...
Well, I think that the economic argument, certainly from Planned Parenthood, who I really watch more closely since I used to work there, is a component of what they have been saying, because we know that the ability to plan your families is an economic issue for families. And so I think they've been on that for a while now. But I think, you know, one thing that was very striking to me is I think we have to be much more disciplined with our what we're talking about, with our message. Democrats tend to be very broad. We tend to list all the issues we're working on and expect that to be able to connect up with a broad message. I mean, the message that I think resonates and I think really is what our core is making sure that as Democrats we are creating an economy that works for people in the state, not just the super wealthy, not just the big corporations. It needs to work for everybody.
The brand of the Democratic Party. I mean, Russ Feingold, all the arguments Democrats are going back now talking about, you need to campaign in rural areas, you need to have an economic message, you know, the trade issue. You can't say he didn't do those things, and yet he almost got the exact same vote as Hillary Clinton, with the exception of some of southwestern Wisconsin,
right,
where he did better, where it's his home
right.
turf.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, one thing that I'm very interested in and that we're now hearing about from our pollsters is looking at not just what issues are resonating with the electorate, but what moves them to vote. What is actually moving people to vote?
To vote.
And it is a very disciplined message. And it is a message that actually Tammy Baldwin used in her race in 2012. And it is this economic
But she had Barack issue. Obama at the top of the
stage. She had Barack Hillary. Obama, and that helped. But she was extremely disciplined in her message. She really focused in on the unfairness of the economic system, the unfairness of our tax system, how it was leaving people behind, how it was benefiting corporations and billionaires.
I don't think Russ did anything different than that.
I wasn't with Russ all the time. You know, I think
Tammy would have won this year.
I think it would have been probably much harder for her to win.
Yeah.
But I do think Johnson ran a surprisingly strong campaign. If you looked at his paid media, if you looked at some of his messaging, I watched the debates. I thought, you know, he did a fairly good job in the debate, though I don't agree with anything that he says. You know, I'm not exactly sure what happened with Russ Feingold. I was obviously a huge fan. I spent a lot of time on campus for him and, you know, making sure that we were doing everything we could here for Russ Feingold. He, you know, I think we really did think he was going into that election day, even after when the polls closed. We really did think he had a great shot of winning.
Well, I thought Tom Nelson ran a good race and he lost by 20 points.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there is a growing belief among rural Wisconsinites, and obviously this isn't, you know, Katie McGinty lost in Pennsylvania, Evan Bayh lost in
Indiana,
everything. I think there is a growing sense among rural whites that Democrats are not for them.
Right, and we have to make sure that we are focusing on this population. But I think that you've got to do a lot of different things. You do have to make sure that we are doing what we can to get that message out and to be communicating and listening to these communities that feel very alienated and very left behind. The interesting thing about what you're saying is, my question is, and I don't really have an answer for this, is why didn't that translate to some of these Republicans at the local level in the state legislature who have been there for a long time and have not represented these individuals, have not represented these communities. That's a
I have yet to read the
have.
Book, The Politics of Resentment.
Of Resentment, yeah.
I think there's a Kathy racial Kramer. Component to this.
I mean, there absolutely could be. We know, and there could be a gender component as well. I mean, you cannot say that that was not a factor in this presidential race.
Worldwide, there's a very low record of women ever getting elected to the presidency or prime minister of countries.
It's very difficult. Start off being perceived as very negatively if you are trying to get power. And that's what the research shows us. That is a negative thing for women. That's not a negative thing for men, but for women it is. And if you're a female politician, every female politician I know has experienced this phenomena. But how do we get past it? How do we make sure that we're progressing so women have opportunities?
Let me ask you about the Republicans' latest efforts with what they're going after next. Representative Hutton introducing a bill going after prevailing wage.
Right.
And they're going after project labor agreements.
Right. That's from ALEC. ALEC has a handbook that they put out. I got it in July when I was there. It's by the Chamber of Commerce that they are promoting. One of the key pieces in there, after you've got collective bargaining rights for public employees. They have a model bill now to do that after you adopt right to work. Well, what's the next playbook? Project labor agreements are in their playbook. And prevailing wage is in their playbook. So, this is another effort to lower wages. I mean, this is what we have to talk about. We talk a lot about job creation. We don't talk a lot about wages. And I think we need to really focus in on that issue. When you cut working people's wages, it hurts our economy, and that is one reason I believe our economy has been so slow here in Wisconsin, is because people's wages haven't increased.
Well, I've been saying that for 6 years, and a lot of politicians don't frame it that way.
Well, we need to start talking that way because that's what's happening, and I think that's why we're getting this pushback from some of our rural communities, is because people have experienced a collapsed economy in some of these places. Manufacturing has left the state, and their wages are plummeting. And so,
you know what, though? I think this is a real tough nut to crack, though, because I think in the politics of resentment, when a sanitation worker or a plow driver working for a community has their wages cut, or a construction worker having to do with the project labor agreement or prevailing wage gets cut, it's kind of become the war of the jungle, and I'm not sure people are empathizing with other people's wages. I think they're thinking about their own, but they're not understanding the big picture.
And the big picture is that local economy is hurt, and so those people are hurt in that community, because that money, that wage, if you're working on a state project now where the prevailing wage is the wage that's negotiated and paid, really stays local. It doesn't go to the lowest bidder, these out-of-state low bidders that come in and try to underbid our businesses here in Wisconsin. So this is really a job creation issue. Going after the prevailing wage hurts our economy. It hurts our ability to keep these jobs local. And it hurts communities. But really, Sly, the real question that we should be asking is, how do we make sure every person has a decent paying job? Not every person has a decent paying job. How do we make sure every person can retire with dignity and with some economic security? That's really the question. And so we really have to reject the politics of resentment, right? We know it's there, but I think what we have to talk about is, we want to create a state where every working person, if you are a working person, if you're somebody who's willing to work hard, and you should be able to get by and not live in poverty, and you should be able to retire with some degree of security and not live in poverty. So I really think that is the message.
All right, politics has become nationalized. Wisconsin now has a lower union total of workers than Alabama.
Wow, is that right? Uh-huh. I did not know that.
I hate to contemplate this, and this is a tough question to ask, but I saw it happen in Ohio, where the Democrats lost control of the legislature in the late 80s, early 90s, never regained it. I saw what happened in Oklahoma after it became a right-to-work state, and that's taken a dive beyond
their economy. That hurt, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
But their economy, but the numbers for Democrats are just unbelievable. It used to be a competitive state. Of course, you can see that's partly the South. Could it be just the Democrats, the nationalization of politics and rural votes, the inevitable just happened in Wisconsin, that we're never going to be a Democratic state again?
No, I totally reject that.
You don't
No, I don't think that. I really don't. Or I couldn't go to work every day, I don't think.
Well,
no, I think that, no, absolutely not. I mean, I do think there have been a convergence of many different factors that have influenced where we are right now. But look, the Democratic Party, we have to start again, and we have to start rebuilding our party. And that happens, in my opinion, from the grassroots up. And that's where we need to invest. We need to invest in these communities we are losing. We need to be in these communities, hiring people from these communities to help us organize, not talking about partisan issues, but talking about issues that are important to the communities. And how do we make sure that these communities have a chance and the people who live in them have a chance? So that's what Democrats are for, people. I mean, that's why I ran for office, because I care about people, what happens to people. We're not committed to some oligarchy or some, you know, creation of some nation where really the only people who have opportunities are the billionaires and the millionaires, and everybody else is left behind. So that is what we have to really start emphasizing, is that that's the trajectory we're on, that we are on that trajectory where working people are left behind. And those, you know, people who want to be working, who are living in poverty, they're left behind. So this is, I think it's a, when we talk about creating an economy that works for everybody, not just those who are at the top, we're speaking to a lot of different groups, and we're speaking to really the heart of the people of this state and this country. And in my opinion, that's what we need to do. We totally reject that we're going to, that this era of Trump is going to be
Well, it's before Trump. I mean, this is, I mean, it's, you know, in some respects, the worst thing that ever happened for the Democrats was winning in 2008, because they owned the they ended up owning the recession when it was a Republican recession.
Right.
You know, back in when the economy crashed in 1929, people got to see three more years of Herbert Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans owned it. The timing of this, and you've heard Scott Walker do it over and over again. He made Jim Doyle and the Democrats own the recession when it wasn't their recession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a tough hole to crawl out of.
It is tough. But, you know, Barack Obama, still his approval rating is still higher than most presidents at this point in his presidency.
Don't even get me going on him. Okay? Because, you know what? To me, he's a big disappointment. I wanted Franklin Roosevelt, not another Bill Clinton.
Well, you know, he's a centrist. He would say he's a centrist.
I don't think this is right left.
Left.
I think he missed the boat on some big things. He did a lot of things that were necessary. And you have to give him credit for keeping the country completely out of a complete collapse. And he did a lot of things, and he conducted his office with great dignity. But this free trade stuff and him being so condescending and nasty to Elizabeth Warren the beginning of the year with this TPP stuff, I think we've paid a price for it.
Yeah, no, we probably did. Absolutely. And so we have to learn, right? We have to learn that we have to be truly for the workers.
Chris Taylor, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Hopefully our next conversation will be a little more positive, but we had to do this.
Oh, I know. It's painful. You gotta get through this to move on.
Chris Taylor. Join us again for another podcast tomorrow at SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.